the most expensive currency that we can never, 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 never take back is time. Hello, welcome to Not Your Average WCW. My name is Elspeth Mensa, or as you know me, Lady E. So, welcome to, I'm not sure which episode this is. I think I've been recording so much, but this is something that's been really heavy on my heart. I don't think I'm going to blog about it, but it was just something that I really, really wanted to discuss with all my favorite single ladies. And it's something that it's a realization I've come to. So I'm going to put this in two parts. The first part is the issue of time. It's all about time, but the first part is where there's this juice that we've been, you know, drinking, you know, all our lives, where we're being told that we have time, especially particularly for relationships, particularly for marriage. And being my 35-year-old self, I'm going to tell you that these are lies. I'm not going to be on this bandwagon of preaching to young women that, oh, you've got all the time in the world, you don't. I was just laughing at how I'm seeing all the celebrity women who are crying, who are mentioning how lonely they are, especially the ones who never experienced a committed partnership. I mean, marriage. I'm not going to take the word out of it, the big M. And then there are people who go like, oh, marriage is not an achievement. You should focus on your career. I'm going to be honest, I'm miserable. I'm going to be the one person who's going to tell you the truth. I'm not trying to pander to the menosphere. I'm not trying to pander to something. I'm actually being honest. I'm actually going through the process of grief. I'm grieving a relationship. Let's put it in the context of a relationship with quotes. And I keep asking myself, what makes me really happy? And I realized I've always wanted a family. Yes, when I was younger, I didn't want children, mainly because of my trauma of losing both my parents when I was young, particularly my mother. And I was so afraid. And sometimes I am scared of, now that I am a mother, I'm so scared of the idea of death, particularly death. I'm not scared of the whole jail thing. I'm not scared of other things that could separate me from my child. My greatest anxiety is actually dying. So the idea of leaving your children when they're young and not knowing or particularly trusting those around you to actually offer the maternal provision, you know, that there's something that birth mothers, there's this connection that birth mothers have with their natural children, and not all people are gifted with it, you know, with that emotional generosity to actually be able to be parents to children who are not theirs. I'm not trying to vilify people around me or vilify other people, but believe me, people do not understand how to raise other people's children. And as a parent or a person who's aspiring to be a parent, that is scary because you do not know what people are going to pour into that child. And because the outcome we want from our children as parents is that they're decent human beings who can contribute productively to society. And this is just not on the financial scale, which financial scale is very important, but it's also on a emotional or spiritual scale, you know, how they treat other people, how they understand and maneuver through the world. So believe me, but I've always wanted a family. I've always wanted the the nuclear family, and it's because I had two married parents, and they were married till death, you know, do us apart. And I have great admiration. Thank God that my parents were the first experience of marriage for me, because at the rate I am seeing these so-called celebrity marriages that we admire, or, you know, couple goals, I'm just running away from, because I'm just seeing a dissolution of these marriages. You know, you sit down and you're like, oh, I love Tia and Corey, and then bam, they're divorced. So I'm just moving away from them. But thank God, in my natural family, my extended family, I do still have examples. And more so now, I actually speak to the married women in my life. There was a time I was jaded because I just told myself I'm done. And yeah, the market is hard. And unfortunately, if you're a single mom, I know people keep on preaching to us that, oh, you're going to get married. Nah, it's hard. It's really a challenge, to be honest. And people think that it's okay if you marry another person with their own children. That has its own drama. My grandmother, my maternal grandmother, is of the opinion that I should get a single guy, not a man who has his children, not a man who is a divorcee or a widower. She is like, no, my granddaughter, if I'm going to lay prayers, because she's Catholic, if I'm going to lay prayers for you, I am not even placing a taken man in all aspects. I want you to have a single available. She'd put emotionally available, but from her understanding, available young men. I don't know when she says young, because I look younger than I am actually. So she might just be praying for someone who's 7 years younger than me, which is scary, because that's what tends to happen. You know, the very younger ones approach me. But that's a story for another time. But honestly speaking, this Kool-Aid, this juice, this Mazoe drink that I've been drinking of, oh no, you've got time. I am miserable. I do not, right now, I'm in this space where I really just don't want to work. I really just want to be at home. The day when I went to my daughter's sports day, that was so fulfilling, you know. There was a time I was going through a rough time spending time with my nephews, particularly the little one, because that was my joy. Like, I really find fulfillment and joy in that family. So the one thing I'm just going to say on this platform is, you don't have time. We don't have time. And the sad thing is that we reform way too late. Like, I was just laughing at how one celebrity is now changing, removing things from her body. You know, where we thought our threshold of being hot is when we're very young, you know, and then we do all these things, we think we're hot, and then you get to a point where you're just like, I'm tired. Well, I personally never thought of myself as hot at any point in my life. What I always thought gave me value was actually my personality and my intelligence, particularly my intelligence, because maybe with personality, I don't know if I should say sadly, but I've always thought of myself mentally superior to a lot of people, not just guys, but even women. So I've never thought of myself in that bulk of, oh, I'm hot, you know, I'm not. I was always, what I always felt that men were attracted to was actually the fact that I was smart. Or there was something about me that I deemed different. As I've grown older, reflecting on every blog that I've written, and on the reason why I wrote the blog, Nah, I wasn't different from any other woman. I thought I was, which was interesting. But it's also the reason why I've not succeeded in this relationship dating space. Because funny enough, I've made a lot of poor choices. Very poor choices. I think I've used the celibacy as an emotional condom. It's protected me because at least I can proudly say that I'm not one of those people who like, oh, you know, she's a from a certain demographic. But still, what I wanted to provide for me and my daughter was stability. What I wanted to provide for myself was stability. What I wanted was to actually just pour into someone, you know? I actually love loving a man, especially a man who reciprocates what I'm giving him. Because it's important for me to see my man happy, to see my man grow, to speak life into my man, to carry him in prayer. That fulfills me the same way it fulfills me when I'm praying for my friends, when I am praying. And for me, the best practice of any relationship, we remove it, the romantic aspect of it, is actually my relatives, especially the men I'm very close to, my uncles, the brothers I'm really close to. I see that I find joy when I say their totems. I find joy when I cook for them or when I serve them a plate. I find joy when I listen to what they say. When I actually am submissive, it's interesting. So I now give advice to my nieces that yes, get the job. Yes, the job is a good thing because it protects you from okay, I'll just say that it to some extent is a safety net where when you are choosing, you're not choosing because your selection of men or the men that you want to entertain or be around, it's not based out of lack. You're not having someone take advantage of you. You know, and it's not an exchange. So yes, if you have, and all women are hypergamous, and it's good. I encourage hypergamy. The thing with me is, you're not with that older man because he's providing finances. You're actually maybe you're one of those who has an attraction to their fathers. You know, you've got an Electra complex. So you're definitely just choosing because you prefer older men, you know, but not because you really are coming from lack, you know. Might not even be much, but you're like, no, I pay my bills. But if he steps in and says, I want to pay your bills, hallelujah. He says, I want to upgrade you from taking public transport to having your own car. Hallelujah. But it's not an exchange. I don't know if that makes sense. Because I'm not a fan of exchanges personally. My moral compass is it's very interesting. So yes, I'm trying not to be judgy. So I'm really choosing my words. But honestly speaking, my joy comes from pouring. And yes, I really am not happy. Yes, unfortunately, as I grieve a relationship, that relationship was not the right relationship for me. It was not healthy. The person was emotionally unavailable. Was I happy during the getting to know each other space? Yes, definitely. I had actually found someone I really liked. I had a certain level of compatibility with. But yes, values and the energy and the effort, those were parts of the challenge. So I always believe that you must always choose what will grow, not just yourself, but the relationship. So if someone shows you who they are, just believe them and stand up and walk. And just walk away and just tell yourself that you deserve better. You do deserve better, but you deserve better in essence. For me, it's, I'm already a vessel that God is pouring water into, and God is the endless fountain, is the endless waterfall. He's the endless source of water. So I'm the vessel that he's pouring into. So what does this vessel that has, I overflow. So for me, I also want to pour, but I want to pour into a cup that's right side up. So I want to pour into a cup that's receiving, not a cup that's tilted upside down, because obviously the water is all just going to spill and what happens. But that continuous pouring, we're going to all overflow, you know. So I like overflowing. I've so much to give. I'm a giver. I'm cautious. I've very strong boundaries as I've grown older, because there is certain nonsense that I can't be tolerating at my older age, and I've refused to tether myself or have relationships with people, not just a partner, but just people around me, the type of friends, the type of business associates, the type, even relatives, you know. Like, you need to tether yourself around good energy and people who actually build you up. And them building you up doesn't mean they are not going to tell you the truth. You know, for me, the truth is love. My uncle, like, I love how my uncle and my mentor will always lovingly tell you the truth. But they're going to tell you the truth that, you are on the wrong path. You are breathing desperation in this situation. Or you're breathing angry woman in this situation. Or I would love to see more of ABC. Because that is sweet. Oh, you look lovely when you wear dresses. Oh, I love how when you're soft, there's something about you. That I'm learning. And I love to take that, you know. Or when they say, I wish you viewed yourself the way I view you. And they tell you, I view ABC, you know. Or you should see more of yourself. Then that's encouraging. You know, that's very encouraging, like where people can actually help you grow and like, do you really want to go down that road? We've been through this road, you know. Your friend will be like, friend, you need to pray. Let us pray. That's the energy that I want to be around. And it's good to pour, to overflow, you know. I've got so much to pour. And I'm not here to display the condition of my heart to everybody or the state of the vision that I have, but I never want to see people suffering, and I don't like, I like people to win, and I like us to win together, you know. So in essence, I'm just saying that time is not what we have, young ladies. Time is not what we have, ladies. So because we don't have time, we need to understand that we need to stop. Yes, stop entertaining poor choices. If again, I always repeat, especially on our journey to Mr. Put a Ring on It, because that is why we started this series. Not Your Average CW discusses all topics, you know. We go over other topics that are not necessary within MPV, my point of view, but it's important for us to actually now look at ourselves and say, in this time, what do I really want? What is my aspiration? What is my purpose? I'm growing. Unfortunately, I'm realizing later and older, even though at church and you know, in spirituality, for me, they say the divine timing is important. There's nothing like it's too late. Look, Sarah had a baby in her 90s. She was pregnant with a promise, but the promise came when she was way older. You know, she even Sarah is so funny. So I'm going to take you to church just a bit. So Sarah is so funny. She was told and she laughed and she's like, "Ha, me at my big age, pregnant. You're funny. You know, I should have had this, you know, when I was younger." And then she says, "Ah, you know what, hun, Abram, why don't you just look at our maid, you know, she kind of fine. And besides, let's, you know, at least you need a son." Mad respect though to Sarah. The topic for another time. But yeah. But honestly speaking, I think I'm in the space, while I grieve, I'm trying to deal with the concept of really, like, I've been struggling with my faith for the longest time, because especially particularly last year, I went through the roughest time. The last part of my year was rough. And it was, anyone who's seen me between that time and now can see there's a real transition, because I don't look like what I used to look like. Parts of me look better, parts of me actually are crying out for help, which I'm trying to get. So it's important to understand time in all aspects. If you're moving from a spiritual perspective, divine timing. So while this, we're waiting in the divine timing for maybe that appointment where your business thrives, or you're supposed to leave the country, if you're meant to leave the country, or that timing when you're actually waiting for that husband, you know, Mr. Put a Ring on It. What are you doing in that time? But the one thing, do not waste your time. Stop entertaining clowns. I have to emphasize, because I thank God that I, in this last experience, I saw the writings on the wall. I tried to ignore them because I really wanted to be coupled up and be in a relationship of some sort. But yeah, I just realized, no, this is not the situation I want to be in. And for me, I had to refer to an old diary. I had to refer to things my mentor said to me, things my uncle said to me, things that I've spoken with, even with my nephews, like the married ones, the ones who are in seemingly healthy, committed relationships. What we've discussed, I had to refer even to the blog, what I said, the level I'm at, and I'm like, this is not my portion. So it's just me reverting to going back to basics. I went back to my list. I went back to the prayers I made. I'm like, no, this is not aligning with who I want to be, who I am. And remember, we say this is the year of becoming the best version of yourself. This is the year of becoming Mrs. For some of us, not all of us. But the idea is the becoming part. You can't revert back to old habits. But because we are human beings, yeah, we do revert, sadly. And honestly speaking, it's not our intention sometimes. But we've got, like, I understand myself. I always make fun of myself when I'm watching Harlem. I'm the one with Megan Good. I actually was watching the whole season 2, and I realized that I'm a bit like Queen, played by Lady Grace Byers, and Megan Good's character Camille. The levels of self-sabotage, and I see a lot of myself in both characters, but I think I'm always attracted to the narrator type of characters. So for me, Camille's like your Carrie Bradshaw from Sex and the City. So for me, it's like the writers, the creatives, of the narrators of these series. Sometimes I tend to very much connect with them as they tell their stories, and particularly because these two, there is similarity in the series, the above mentioned series. So I was just looking at it like, this is scary. And Camille's not necessarily the most healthiest of people. Camille self-sabotages, but we've come to understand that it's a repeated cycle from her family. So yes, Camille needs therapy, but she also then ruined a man's life. But then again, maybe he needed his life, you know, that upheaval, because he was going to just make the other woman miserable. She was going to love him and give him everything, but he was not going to be happy because he then realized he still had feelings for Camille. So yeah, but this is a discussion for another time. But yes, so sometimes, yeah, sometimes we some I'm trying to understand. So for me, this is me going through the grieving process, where I think I've the pleading era passed. I'm at a space where now it's sometimes I have to tell myself honestly that it's never gonna happen. Keep telling yourself it's never gonna happen. He was not aligned with you. He wasn't for you. And you know, keep it going. And keep it going doesn't mean that you, I'm not dating anyone. I've chosen not to do that. I chose to always take myself to my little corner when I really feel like I need to cry and cry it out. But right now I'm seeking more of my clarity. I'm seeking it from speaking, particularly to the men in my life, to help me maneuver and find that level of self-respect and integrity and a deeper understanding why I keep repeating this and how not to repeat the poor choices. And so that I don't waste my time. But the good thing is, compared to the previous situation, previous relationship, again in quotes, I have grown. So at every stage of most of these poor choices, I'm realizing I'm growing up. I've grown. But time has passed. It's been a whole decade since I was 25, and at 25, I really, 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 really was ready to get married. But again, I tethered myself to an emotionally unavailable man, and I made a lot of assumptions of this man's intentions, but there was nothing happening. It was a whole bunch of stringing along. But great content, not gonna lie. Gave me great content, great, great, great content. So I'm literally on that Billie Holiday, Miley Cyrus, not Miley Cyrus, I mean Taylor Swift. Yeah, maybe we can actually say Miley Cyrus, because the whole album, new album, is definitely a whole story. Yeah. It's up storytelling. I have a whole body. I've got bodies of work that received great content from that experience, that poor choice. And then, but I wasted 10 years. 10 years of thinking I had time, 10 years of trying to build a certain career that now I doesn't fulfill me. Yeah, I've wasted a whole decade. Some may say that no, your decade, well, you're growing, yes, growth, yes. But in terms of, and maybe to some extent, if I had jumped into a marriage at that point, maybe I wouldn't have. I might have self-sabotaged because I didn't have the self-awareness that I have now. But I think now my mission is to actually, I've started to think maybe my mission is to speak to young women and try to cut the time. You know, there's nothing worse than having your babies older. Like I always just think of now, if I'm going to have kids, like I'm going to be the very older parent. Rather than with my current child, like right now with my child. I don't know why, current child. Yeah, she's foreseeing more children. But yeah, with my child, like it's fun because I still have the energy. So I worry about that. So I think when you're young, especially if you want to get married, make it your priority. Don't be told, if you really, really want, don't drink this Kool-Aid of, you know, this juice of you've got all the time. You might not like your career in the next 20 years. Believe me, it's not fun waking up, working hard and being underpaid. Especially when you know your value, you know, especially in terms of your career or the work, your input, you really don't want that. It's not fun being shouted at your older age, you know, and where your superiors actually speak to you as if you're a child, you know. It's humiliating. So I'm trying to make sure that to cut all this nonsense and this grief, if marriage and family is really what you want. Right now at 18, don't tell yourself that you're going to test out the waters, you're going to try ABC, you want to see what the world looks like. Nah, there's nothing in this world. And anyway, see the world with your person, you know? If you're going to be, you allied yourself with someone, then try to ally yourself with someone who wants to see the world the same way as you. Then, but don't allow those butterflies. I'm sorry, butterflies, it's just you hungry or you're actually nervous. And when your stomach is giving you butterflies with somebody or with anything, trust your gut. Your gut is telling you that, no, this is danger. It's just a warning sign. Believe me, you know when you know. And when you know, there is peace. You feel peace. Not an assumed peace. It's let me just let you know, that peace feels like a breath of fresh air. It's like you literally sit there and just like, this is what I was promised for. This is what I was prepared for. The good home training, the cooking, the cleaning, the how to speak to people, you know, how to give respect. Believe me, you will breathe. It will not be. And for me, as someone who goes to church, the Bible says that what God gives good things, and what God gives addeth no sorrow. It has nothing. It does not bring you any angst. It doesn't bring you any anger or stress or confusion, because God is not confused. I think the proper entities in our divine alignment have no confusion. If it's a divine something, believe me, you will not be confused. You will not be stressed. You will not be you feel that peace. You just like, believe me. And it's nice. It's amazing.
But what you do after that, it's up to you. So you're not working with how I feel. You like, okay, now that you've given me peace, God, where do we move from here? What is my purpose within this bigger picture, you know? Where am I doing the heavy lifting? Where am I the lightweight? How are we going to function? What is this for a greater purpose, you know? And then you work from that. So the currency that is the most expensive is time. We do not have time. Life is already short. So in the fact that life is short, you better make the best of it. And again, I'm just speaking to the single ladies who really, really want that ring on it. I'm speaking to the young women. And this is the discussion I've been having with my nieces, because I actually have young nieces who are literally in their 20s now, early 20s. And I am not giving them bad advice as an auntie. I am not making them drink this juice that keeps telling us that we have time. We don't have time. I really want us to realize, because I said, let me be the template of the things that you should not do. I even have a cousin who keeps on saying, you know what? For all the bad and poor choices that you women have made, I'm making better choices. And I see her walking into better choices, and she's smart. I could learn a lot from her, to be honest. So, yeah, we don't have time. Don't think you have time. Utilize your youth. Utilize being young. Utilize your 20s to be a better 30-year-old, a less miserable 40-year-old, a less lonely 50-year-old. You know? Just focus. If you really, 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 really want the big M and what comes with it, not the wedding, please. I'm not here to preach about weddings. It's none of our business. I'm talking about the institution itself. And believe me, as someone who actually had two married happy parents, and when I say happy, let's loosely use this, but who had a functional marriage, I am for it. I am for it. I'm not against it. Yes, it is an achievement. Believe me, it's the greatest achievement you can achieve, you know, you can have in life, because there is fulfillment in loving someone else, in pouring into someone else. There is fulfillment in having a friend. There is a fulfillment in having someone, you know, when the Bible says the two become one, being one with someone who you are headed in a direction, you know, an amazing direction. And ideally have God being the head, you know, being the compass. And surround yourself with people who have successful marriage. Successful marriage doesn't mean they're not fighting, they've not had separations, they've not had challenges. Successful marriage is meaning that they're together till death do them apart. Take that from me. No divorce. And, you know, divorce is not an option. The big D is actually death, not divorce. So, yeah. I think that's what I wanted to say for part one about time. So, this is from your fear. I'm still trying to find how to end this, but P.S. always write your own love story. Ciao, Lady E.